Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody, especially the visitors that we have with us today. Wanted to mention a special prayer request. Dean and Michelle Lowry, I think the Brunos know them. They live in Pahrump. He has requested prayers for his brother. Dean and Michelle, they watch us every week online, and his brother Chuck has had a foot amputated recently, and he's requested prayers for his continued healing. So I'd like to take a moment and go to God in prayer on behalf of him. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you, thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. We ask that you be with Chuck Lowry right now as he's recovering from a foot amputation. We ask that you be with the doctors that are treating him, and that he will continue to get better and help him in this new adjustment of dealing with this loss of his foot. Dear God, thank you for all the blessings that you give us. We ask that you please forgive us for the many sins that we commit. We pray everything through your son, Jesus. Amen. Have an announcement. I think I've mentioned it before that every month, the last 6-8 months, I guess, probably closer to 8, some of the preachers in town of the Churches of Christ have gotten together on a Saturday for breakfast, just to kind of fellowship and strengthen each other and so forth. And one of the things that have come out of it is an attempt to try to get some of the congregations together for fellowship and for singings. And coming up, it's in the bulletin. The date was misprinted. It says Sunday, June 6th. It's actually Sunday, June 5th. That Bright Angel is going to be starting it off at 2 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. And we will be meeting for maybe an hour and a half in between services, sharing some Christian fellowship and singing with each other. And then in July, it's going to be the North Las Vegas Church. It'll be in the bulletin. And then in August, we're hosting it. And so it'll be a great way for Christians to get together, see each other, people that maybe we haven't seen in a long time, make some new friends, and just have good Christian fellowship. We'll be announcing more of that in the future. We're going to be looking at our lesson today. We're going to be looking at the church at Antioch. Ironically, this is one of the most important churches in the New Testament, and it doesn't have a letter written to it. Paul never wrote them a letter. You know, we've got the church of Galatia. We've got Colossae, Philippi, and Thessalonica and so forth. But there is no letter to the Christians that met in Antioch. But it was a very, very important and scripturally and doctrinally important city. It was the third largest city of the Roman Empire. The only cities that were bigger than Antioch was Rome and Alexandria in Egypt. And this was a major, major city. And it is reported numerous times, scriptures in the New Testament, about the going on at Antioch. One of the things I'd like to point out, and this is on the outline if you grabbed an outline, this was a congregation that was born out of persecution. You know, we would love to have a life that just goes easy breezy, with no fuss, no muss. That is awful nice. But this congregation was born out of persecution and out of turmoil and out of fear and loss of life. And that was their origin. And to think that that's how they started was people being scattered from Jerusalem out of fear of their life. And I'd like to look at a couple of scriptures. In Acts 11, in verse 19, we see, "Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen." And we know earlier in the book of Acts how Stephen had been stoned to death for preaching Christ and became what we would call the first Christian martyr. And it says they traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. This congregation arose out of people scattering for their lives, out of fear of their own lives, and they were preaching the word to the Jews. And that's how this congregation got started. That was their origin, was out of fear, out of escaping and getting away from Jerusalem. Another thing we see about the church in Antioch is the stressing of the teaching of the Word of God. And as we think of some of these things, there's a lot of application to us. You know, I always ask myself these same questions. Are we a congregation? And I think we are. That focuses on the Word of God. Yes, this congregation is very loving. It is very welcoming to visitors, and we are kind of known far and wide for that. But more than that, more than the fellowship, we are known as a congregation that stresses the Word of God. And that is something that I am very proud of this congregation for, that it is important to the men that get up and they stress the Word of God. So did Antioch. In Acts 11, we had just read 19, it says, "Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus." The Hellenists being the Greeks, the Gentiles. "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord." They believed and turned to the Lord because of the power of the Word of God, because people were willing to preach it. When they were scattered to all these different places out of fear and persecution, they just didn't keep their mouth shut. They took with them their beliefs and they shared the Word of God to Jews and Greeks. And the result was a great number believed and turned to the Lord. It goes on to say, "Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all with that purpose of heart. They should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord, meaning they were baptized. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. Could you imagine having Paul and Barnabas with us for a year? Not only on the Lord's Day teaching and preaching, but probably multiple times during the week. Could you imagine the impact, the influence, the growth that they would have? And they stressed, these people in Antioch stressed the teaching of the Word of God and benefited from the teaching of the Word of God. I can only imagine the growth that they had for Barnabas and Paul to be with them for a year, teaching, preaching, sharing their lives together, the influence that they would have had. It says, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. This is a description, when people are called Christians, it's a description of not only their lifestyle, but also their doctrine and their uniqueness. They weren't called Christians until the gospel had been spread to include the Gentiles. And it included both people that had been Jews and converted to Christianity, but also these non-Jews called Gentiles. It included male and female. It erased the division of classes between rich and poor, race, age. Christian was a new term people were using, and they were first called Christians in Antioch. And it wasn't based on anything but Jesus. It wasn't based on whether you'd been taught by Paul, whether you'd been taught by Apollos or Peter or John, one of the apostles. It was based on the teachings of Jesus. Another thing we see is they put their faith into action. We've had numerous classes, we've had sermons galore about faith without works is dead. We see that the church in Antioch, they put their action where their mouth was. They just didn't say they were Christians, they lived up to it. And that's important for anybody that takes on that title, Christian. Anybody that puts on that title that I'm a Christian, you just can't say it. You've got to live it. You've got to have your faith match up and your actions match up to the words. And we see that with the Christians here in Antioch. In Acts 11, starting in verse 27, it says, And in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout the world. which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. These Christians who were first called Christians in Antioch, they were making that description of their lives, and they realized we have fellowship with other people that are called Christians. They found out of a need of the Christians that were in the Jerusalem, Judea area. And they took it upon themselves to help their brothers and sisters who were in need. They made that connection. They are our brothers and sisters. We do that with a lot of our missionary work. I tell you, there's not a need that comes up here that the people don't rise up and meet that need, whether it be spiritually, physically, financially. And this was a characteristic of the church at Antioch. They heard that there was a need. We're not suffering, but our brothers and sisters in Judea are suffering. Let us do what we can. And it says, each according to his ability. Some gave more than others, but each gave according to what they could. And they sent that money with Paul and Barnabas for the elders in Jerusalem to administer it as needed. The church in Antioch served as kind of the center spoke, the hub of three of Paul's missionary journeys. Paul had four major missionary journeys, and Antioch played a major role in three of those missionary trips. In Acts 14 it says, from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. That's an important verse right there. They were commanded to go do the work, and they completed it. That's a whole nother sermon right there, completing the work you're assigned to do. How many people start off doing some gang? Oh, they're gangbusters. But it kind of fizzles out. Had a girl, Marion will probably associate with this one. I had a girl in track that used to run the 800. She started the race out tremendous, like she was running a 100-yard dash. She had the best takeoff of anybody. Unfortunately, she was running an 800. I don't remember if she ever finished the races. She started out like gangbusters. People just like, wow! She was the only lack of success story. I saw people improve. She must have had a horrible coach because I never could teach her pacing. That you got to finish the race, sweetheart. I mean, you can't just start off good. You've got to finish the race. Paul and the work that was being done, they had been sent to do work. They returned to Antioch to preach and to relate to them all the things that they had completed, all the things that they had done. And that there's a message there that we'll look at down the road. Now, when they had come together and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples, reporting back to them and encouraging them of all the work that had been completed. The church at Antioch was also the center of one of the first doctrinal issues that the church faced. You put people together, you give them instructions, it tends to go awry. That is a story that we see that's woven through from Genesis all the way to Revelation. People are given instructions. God has not just dumped us out and turned us loose for our own device, with our own devices. He's given us instruction. He gave Adam and Eve instruction. He gave Noah instruction. He gave Moses and the Israelites instruction on what to do. The church in Antioch, in this early new church called Christians, is no different. God gave them instruction. He just didn't turn them loose and say, have at it. Do whatever you see fit. He didn't do that, but people strayed. One of the biggest issue was, we saw the scripture in chapter 11 where they had been preaching to the Jews. A lot of the Jewish converts to Christianity were preaching, to be a Christian, you've got to keep up with the law of Moses. You've got to be circumcised. You've got to keep the Jewish customs and regulations in order to be a Jew. Well, it was being opened up to other people other than Jews. And these Jewish converts were teaching Gentile converts, to be a Christian, you've got to be circumcised. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. Putting above and beyond things that God had not placed on them. And we see Antioch was one of the first places that had to deal with this issue. In Acts 15, it starts out, and certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, that would have been an interesting time to be a fly on the wall and just sit back and watch how they did this. It would have probably been pretty entertaining too to see how they lashed into them. But they had no small dissension and dispute with them. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. We see the attitude of the Christians in Antioch. There was a question. They didn't know how to respond to it. So what do? They go to the source. They go to the original source. They go to the apostles and the elders. We're a little confused here. Clarify what we should do. And they you don't see an I think, I feel, or in my opinion. We want to know from the authority what to do. That's the attitude we see with the people in Antioch. They are to be commended on that. In verse 22 it says, then it pleased the apostles and elders after they had met together and they wrote him a letter to be sent back with the whole church. to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men of the brethren. They were going to send them a letter. They were going to send Paul and Barnabas back. But you know what? We will send some of our own people to confirm and to back them up with what we had said. In verse 30 it says, so when they were sent off, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. When they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Now, Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets also, exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. And after they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. What a wonderful example we see of when there is a doctrinal issue, how to deal with it. They went to the source. We have that source today with us. And I like to praise this congregation for that is our attitude. Whenever we have a question, we go to the source. We don't have, when it comes to doctrine, we don't have issues like I think, I feel, in my opinion. Because in the big scheme of things, religiously, who cares? Who cares what you think? Now, when it comes to the color of our carpet, the color of the walls, plenty of room for opinions. But not with doctrine. Antioch was born out of persecution, and it's a good reminder to see that good can come out of bad. A lot of people focus and they never get past the persecution in their life. Good can come out of it. The Word of God was taught, and we see the power and the impact of God's Word in Antioch. As Christians, they put their faith into action. We're reminded time and time again, faith without works is dead. Without a demonstration of works, that's how we demonstrate our faith. They were a missionary-minded church. Seems like another congregation I think of that is pretty missionary focused. And not only were they the center, but they solved the problem that they had, and they accepted correction. A lot of congregations are in the midst of turmoil over a doctrinal issue. They might be taught what is the answer, but then they reject it. A lot of congregations don't accept the correction. People don't always accept correction. The people in Antioch did, because they respected the Word of God. I see a lot of parallels to us today, at least a lot of lessons to be taught from Antioch, what we as Christians in our day and age should follow. The lesson's yours. The outline is yours. You might want to go back and look at some of those scriptures later this week. If you have need to answer the invitation call, If you've never been baptized, you're not saved. You're not saved according to the word that God has given us. Jesus himself said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. If you are a Christian, and you've strayed and you need to repent, if there's sin in your life, don't take another moment and delay. Be like the people of Antioch and accept correction. Repent. Get back on track. If you have prayers, if you need prayers of the congregation, if you've been visiting various congregations of the Lord's body and would like to identify with us, we have had a number of families just in the last few months. The Parkers were just last week, they identified with us here. We've had numerous families in the last few months. We welcome you and look forward to working together with you. Whatever your need, if you'd come forward while Kurt leads us in the invitation, let's stand and sing.